Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouth have not kissed him." So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was ploughing what 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant.
We are continuing today in our Lent series on prayer, with emphasis on the prayers prayed by the Old Testament prophet Elijah. In the Bible passages we have looked at so far, Elijah's prayers have brought about a yes from God and a wait from God. However, in the passage we are looking at today, when Elijah prays, God says no. And Elijah discovered when God says no to our prayers, it can be very difficult to bear. So what have all these people got in common? Thank you, Helen. Yes, they all are known from suffering from depression. So, do you know who they are? Stephen Fry, who's talked very publicly about depression. Winston Churchill, who talked about his black dog. Do you know who the lady is? Anybody know who the lady is? It's actually the Archbishop of Canterbury's daughter, Catherine Welby Roberts. And she has very bravely and very publicly spoken about her battle with depression, and she is a Christian. And then the other one is Elijah, who in this passage seemed quite depressed. So all these people have experienced forms of depression, and they are not alone. When I Googled famous people who have experienced depression, a list of 30 names came up straight away, such as Reese Witherspoon, J.K. Rowling, Jim Carrey, Johnny Depp, and Harrison Ford. According to the Mental Health Foundation, depression is the predominant mental health problem worldwide. People who have not experienced depression themselves cannot imagine what it is like to be depressed and may just think that depressed people are weak and should pull themselves together. But this is far from the case. Depressed people are often very strong people who work hard to try and overcome their depressive feelings. According to Tim Cantifer, who is a consultant psychiatrist at the Priory Hospital in Woking, depression is not a condition experienced by those who are weak, but rather it's the curse of the strong. Today I'm going to talk about depression using the story of Elijah as a focus, and I'm going to look at this from a theological and psychological perspective and offer practical suggestions for anyone experiencing this. Firstly, I want to look at what happened to Elijah and then look at what we can learn from this for today. So in 1 Kings 18, we read that Elijah had been on the mountaintop and he had had an amazing mountaintop experience. He had successfully challenged the prophets of Baal and God had miraculously demonstrated his power and defeated them. How exciting was that for Elijah? Then, as his prayer for rain was answered, Elijah, with the power of the Lord upon him, tucked his cloak in his belt and, like a biblical Mo Farah, ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to Jezreel. How empowered Elijah must have felt, and that everything was going his way. I can just imagine him strutting along, feeling pretty good about life and about himself. But of course, that didn't last long. Telltale Ahab, feeling very sorry for himself, goes and moans about his humiliating defeat to his wife Jezebel, who is the real baddie in this story. And Jezebel retaliates by sending a messenger to Elijah, threatening to kill him within 24 hours. So after the high emotions of jubilation and excitement, Elijah now experiences fear and comes crashing down emotionally. We read, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. As some of you know, last year our daughter and son-in-law had to literally run for their lives when they were caught in an earthquake in Indonesia. They experienced off-the-scale fear in a life-or-death situation. This is the kind of fear that Elijah feels as he runs for his life. He is absolutely terrified. He had been so high, and now he is so low. He ran to Beersheba, left his servant there, and walked another day's journey into the desert. Eventually, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, I am no better than my ancestors." I want to pause here and look at how Elijah is feeling at this point and see whether we can learn anything to help us when we might be feeling the same. The man who had been so victorious on Mount Carmel had come to a place of despair. He had gone from one emotional extreme to another, from jubilation through fear to depression and wanting to end his life. Often in churches, we focus on more positive emotions, perhaps mistakenly believing that as Christians we should always be full of joy. But sometimes Christians do feel desperate and depressed. Some of you here today might be feeling like this. Sometimes people feel so low that they don't think they can carry on and want to end their lives. If anybody listening to this today feels that life is no longer worth living and they can't carry on, I urge you to tell someone how you feel. Tell someone here this morning, tell a friend, tell a family member, tell your doctor, but don't suffer alone. And if someone has the courage to tell you that they are feeling suicidal, please take them seriously. Do something about it. Be a friend to them and follow up on it. So back to Elijah sitting under the broom tree feeling depressed. The word depression comes from the Latin deprimere, which I hope I've pronounced correctly, which means to press down. Sometimes we may feel as if the weight of the world is on our shoulders, pressing us down, and the load feels too heavy for us to bear. Feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, worthlessness, sadness, despair, and other negative feelings can overwhelm us, and we can feel as if we're drowning in them. These depressive feelings can last a short time and come and go, or they can be of longer duration and turn into clinical depression. So what has contributed to Elijah experiencing these depressed feelings, and might the same things affect us? First of all, he was exhausted physically and emotionally. He had experienced all the tension and stress of Mount Carmel and then had run all the way to Jezreel. He ran for his life to Beersheba before walking into the desert. It makes me feel exhausted just talking about all that. He has probably come to the end of his physical resources. We talk about burnout in modern language, and this was probably what Elijah was experiencing. Overwork with not enough sleep and rest can lead to burnout and depression. We all have limited physical, emotional, and mental resources, and when we exceed these limits, we run on empty and we have nothing left to give. A car with an empty petrol tank has no energy and will not go. In the same way, when we deplete all our own resources, we will stop functioning and can end up depressed. So Elijah was probably also hungry and thirsty. He hadn't eaten for some time and probably had low blood sugar. Those of you that know me well know that I don't really function very well when my blood sugar levels fall and I don't have enough food. Lack of food and a poor diet can lead to poor energy levels and depressed moods. He was isolated and lonely. Elijah had left his servant behind and he was alone. Further on in verse 10, he tells God, "I am the only one left." Loneliness and isolation can lead to feelings of depression. And he was afraid. Elijah is terrified that Jezebel might find him and carry out her promise to kill him. For all of us, fear and anxiety generate negative feelings, which if prolonged can spiral down into depression. A bad thing can happen to us on one day, and so we fear until it will happen again tomorrow. This can develop into a vicious cycle until all of life seems bad. And Elijah probably had a bit of self-pity. He was feeling sorry for himself. In verse 10, he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Elijah is saying, poor old me. Sometimes we can feel sorry for ourselves, and this can lead to low moods. Sometimes I can feel sorry for myself and have a bit of a moan. Sometimes we have real reason to feel sorry for ourselves, and it's hard to rise above negative feelings and low moods. Elijah was in difficult circumstances. These circumstances probably contributed to how he was feeling. We all go through difficult times, and it's not surprising that we can sometimes feel low. And Elijah may have been angry. He sounds a bit angry over what's happened. He's angry with the Israelites for rejecting God's covenant. He may be angry with Ahab and Jezebel and all those who seem to be working against him. He may even be angry with God for letting him down. Anger can be a difficult emotion for Christians to deal with. We misinterpret verses such as Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And we think this means that we shouldn't be angry. So we suppress our anger and try to bottle it up. Suppressed anger can become a ticking time bomb inside us and can turn into depression. Sometimes depression is described as anger turned inward. Elijah was probably feeling sad as well about what's happened. When we suffer loss of any kind, we do feel sad. Grief is a normal emotion. However, when someone gets stuck in their grief and can't move on from it, this can then turn into depression. And lastly, Elijah may be feeling abandoned by God. This may be the hardest to bear for Elijah and for us. Elijah's been faithful to God and worked so hard on his behalf, and now look what's happened. To top it all, Elijah has prayed that God would take his life, and God says no and doesn't answer his prayer. It can be very... Sometimes when we pray and God says no, it can be very hard and very painful to bear. We pray for a loved one to be healed, and God says no. A couple prays to conceive a much longed-for child, and God says no. We pray because we are desperate to secure employment, and it seems that God has not answered our prayer. These no's are very painful, and it may seem that God has abandoned us. That's quite a long list, isn't it? I did actually have more, but I confined it to those. Otherwise, I thought you might go home feeling depressed. I wonder if you're experiencing any of these things at the moment, or perhaps you have a friend who is experiencing them. I'm going to talk now about what helped Elijah, a bit more positive, hopefully, when he was depressed, and what we can do to help ourselves when we're depressed. So I said that Elijah was exhausted physically and emotionally, and the first thing that he does is lie down under the tree and go to sleep. And the first thing we can do if we're feeling depressed is to make sure that we get enough sleep, rest, and relaxation. If we have a very driven personality, having rest and relaxation might seem a selfish thing to do. But without it, we can't function properly. God instituted the Sabbath in order that we might rest from our labors and be physically, emotionally, and mentally restored. Without rest and relaxation, we do not have the resources to live the life that God wants us to live. And I said that Elijah was hungry and thirsty. But the angel came and provided a cake of bread and a jar of water and told Elijah to get up and eat. Just the act of eating alone may have had an immediate effect on how Elijah felt. What we eat does impact our health and how we feel. A healthy diet with plenty of vitamins will affect our mental health for the better. He was isolated and lonely. An angel meets with Elijah and comforts him. When someone is depressed, they may shy away from contact with others, and yet the support of others is vital for recovery. If you feel depressed, reach out to someone and tell them how you feel. If someone tells you they're depressed, I encourage you to be a friend to them and show them that you care. Ask them how they are, even if there seems no change, and persevere with them. Depression can sometimes take a long time to fix, but having someone standing by in the bad times is such a valuable and precious thing. If the person is severely depressed, encourage them to visit their doctor because they may need more professional help. So Elijah had been afraid. Fear can be a hard thing to overcome. Oh, back. Sorry, I was going to give a health warning for that one. Stop. Fear can be all-consuming. It's helpful if you're afraid to try to get things in perspective. Try to work out how much of your life is impacted by the fear. Is it constant or does it come and go? So what I was going to say was, who's afraid of spiders? And if you are, don't look. So, if a large spider is in front of us, we may be very afraid. But if we can have the next slide. So where's the spider now? We couldn't make it any smaller because you wouldn't see it. The spider seems very small when you're standing on a mountaintop. It's put the fear into perspective. Perhaps that's why God led Elijah onto the mountaintop. As he looked down, perhaps he could see everything more clearly. A verse that has helped me to overcome fear in the past is 1 John 4, verse 4. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We do not need to be afraid because we have an almighty and powerful God who is with us at all times. Another verse in Isaiah 43, verse 2, can comfort us when we are afraid. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Memorizing verses of scripture like this can be a way of helping us when we are afraid. I don't know if you can read that. It says, it's still important to memorize scripture because someday you might not have a smartphone with you to look it up. Elijah may have been filled with self-pity. As a counselor, I work with clients who have serious problems and who have real reasons to feel sorry for themselves. They can feel bad and guilty if they succumb to self-pity and complain. Particularly those written by David are filled with anxiety and complaining. He doesn't pretend to feel something that he's not. He is completely honest and real with God. For example, Psalm 55 starts, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me." If it's okay for David to have a bit of a moan to God, surely that's okay for us too. But at the end of the psalm, David says, "As for me, I trust in you." He's told God how he feels, but then decides to stop complaining. He is choosing to pull himself together and to trust God, and we can do the same. We can have a little wallow in self-pity to get it out of our systems and then can decide that enough is enough and it's time to trust God and move on. It's interesting that God doesn't berate Elijah for his complaining and self-pity. If God had spoken to Elijah from the wind or the earthquake or the fire, Elijah might have felt more afraid and ashamed of his behavior. But God speaks to him in a gentle whisper. God shows Elijah compassion and shows him a way forward that can help him move on. So Elijah was in difficult circumstances. He changed his circumstances by moving to Horeb and then onto the desert of Damascus. If there is something practical that we can do to change our difficult circumstances, such as moving to a new job, for example, that's a really good thing to do. But sometimes we can't change our circumstances. So it may be helpful to change what we can within those circumstances. Take control of the things that we can control. We can choose to be more active, even if it's only a small step forward. Going for a walk on a sunny day can really lift our spirits. Getting any form of exercise is good for our mental health, and being outside enjoying the fresh air and nature can be very uplifting. So Elijah may have been angry. Suppressing anger is never a good idea. A much better way with anger is to acknowledge it and to express it appropriately. I said appropriately. You can do this by pounding the pavement, doing some press-ups, attacking the housework, digging in the garden. And I have actually found that decorating can be very therapeutic when you're angry. Paintbrush, roller, slap it on. Not so good on the gloss, I have to say. Good on emotion. And Elijah was probably sad. When we experience loss of any kind, we need time to take time to grieve. Time does eventually heal, but how much time an individual needs does vary from person to person. This is when we need to practice self-compassion, being as kind to ourselves as we would to someone else. And lastly, Elijah might have been feeling abandoned by God. In 1 Kings 19, verses 10 and 14, Elijah tells God about what's happened. Then God meets with him and speaks to him in a gentle whisper and tells him what to do and what's going to happen. This reassures Elijah that God does know what's happening and he is still in control. It also gives Elijah something to do and a sense of purpose. It may be at this point that Elijah is glad that God didn't say yes to his prayer and that he is still alive to carry on the work that he's been called to do. There have been times in my life when God has seemed far away and I have felt in despair. And just like David in the Psalms, I have found it helpful to tell God how I feel by pouring it all out in a letter. I then put these letters in an envelope and keep them somewhere safe. Somehow, by writing these letters and telling God about it, I feel so much better, almost as if I have handed everything over to him. Sometimes years later, I have found these letters and read them, and I have been amazed that I felt like that at the time and how differently everything has worked out. I'd like to conclude this morning by borrowing some words from someone else. Many years ago, when I was a teenager, I heard a sermon which spoke to me so powerfully that I can still remember the 3 points. It's the only 3-pointed sermon that I have ever remembered, the 3 points. So it was quite powerful. So over the years, I have found these 3 points to be very helpful when I have felt low or worried, and I would like to share them with you. So when you feel you're going under, remember these things. He understands. In Mark chapter 14, we read that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was deeply distressed and overwhelmed with sorrow. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus was in anguish over what was to come. He prayed that he would not have to go through with it, but was willing to submit to the will of the Father. Therefore, when we are in distress, Jesus understands what it's like for us. Secondly, he undertakes. Just as God looked after Elijah and provided for him, God looks after us and will provide for us. In Psalm 139, we read, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." Whatever trials we are going through, God is there with us. And finally, underneath are the everlasting arms. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, we read, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." In 1978, I went to see the first Superman film. And as I came out of the cinema, I remember being excited and thinking, if the fictional Superman can do all that, how much more powerful is my God, and what amazing things can he do? And one of the things that Superman is known for is when he swoops in to catch people in his arms when they're falling from a tall building. Our God is greater than any Superman. He lifts us up and holds us through the challenges of life. And even more, God holds us through the challenges of aging and death. However low we go into despair or in depression, even lower, as underneath, are the everlasting. I am aware that I've been talking about a very sensitive subject this morning. And if you feel that what I have been talking about has impacted you in any way, please feel free to contact me and we can talk about it. Or talk to a close friend or family member. And after the service, there are always people here available to pray with you.